Imagine waking up every morning unable to recognize your own face in the mirror, or returning to high school after years of isolation, known to millions as America's fattest teen. These aren't hypothetical scenarios, but the lived realities of Jack Masselin and Libby Strout, two teenagers navigating the treacherous waters of high school while carrying invisible and visible burdens. Their stories intertwine in a powerful exploration of what it means to truly see and be seen in a world obsessed with appearances. Jack appears to have everything, popularity, charm, a vintage Land Rover, but harbors a secret that threatens his carefully constructed facade, prosopagnosia, a neurological condition rendering him unable to recognize faces. Imagine every room filled with strangers, even your own home, Jack explains. He identifies people by their walk, voice, and distinguishing features, his afro grown specifically so he can find himself in reflections. His condition forces him to develop extraordinary social skills. My coping strategy? Be charming, funny, always on, and never lose control. Libby Strout became known as America's fattest teen when firefighters had to demolish her house to rescue her 653-pound body, a moment that went viral. After her mother's sudden death when she was 10, Libby's grief manifested through compulsive eating until she became physically trapped. Having lost 302 pounds through years of recovery, she's now returning to high school as a junior. The night before her first day, anxiety keeps her awake. If a genie appeared, I'd wish for my mom to be alive, no more sadness, and to join the Martin Van Buren High School damsels drill team. Despite her fears, Libby has developed self-acceptance. I've lost 302 pounds, the size of two people, with 190 left to go, and I'm fine with that. I like who I am. Her first day is filled with stares and whispers. When Caroline Lushemp offers pity compliments like, "You look really pretty," Libby feels her soul die a little. Yet she perseveres, making friends who see beyond her size. Jack and Libby's lives collide during lunch when Jack participates in Fat Girl Rodeo, a cruel high school game, to preserve his social standing. Pressured by peers, he throws himself around Libby in the cafeteria while students cheer and make mooing sounds. Libby responds with both vulnerability and strength. After freezing momentarily, she roars, "No," with such force that students step back, then delivers a punch that leaves Jack bleeding. This confrontation lands them both in mandatory community service and daily counseling sessions. In these conversation circle sessions, their defenses begin to crack. Jack notices Libby's kindness when she subtly helps him identify classmates without highlighting his struggle. Libby glimpses Jack's vulnerability during discussions about school events, noticing how he tenses when describing basketball games where he can't distinguish between players. Dancing is Libby's purest expression, a living connection to her mother's memory through worn VHS tapes they'd watched together. "Dancing is what I love most and what I plan to do with my life," she declares determinedly. During her damsel's drill team audition to Flashdance, What a Feeling, she transcends her surroundings. "I become one with the music, feeling like I'm soaring beyond the gym, beyond the town, across countries." Despite earning spontaneous applause, Caroline Lushomp's suggestion to lose 250 pounds maybe wounds deeply. This rejection mirrors a childhood ballet class where talent couldn't overcome body bias. Swimming class later forces Libby to face her greatest fear, exposing her body before judgmental peers. With "screw it" as her battle cry, she enters wearing a vibrant purple bikini, her stomach marked with "I am wanted" in permanent marker. Ignoring gasps and snickers, she executes an Olympic-worthy dive, finding freedom in the water's weightlessness and her own conviction. Jack's relationship with Libby challenges his carefully constructed persona. At a party, overwhelmed by faces he can't recognize, he breaks convention and confesses his prosopagnosia to everyone. "I can't recognize faces," he explains, to a room that erupts in laughter, assuming it's a joke. This vulnerability leads to a beating from which Libby rescues him. As she drives him home, Jack opens up about his struggles with identity. The conversation shifts when they arrive at Jack's house, directly across from where Libby's childhood home once stood. Jack confesses he witnessed her most humiliating moment, the day firefighters cut her from her house. "I was there the day they cut you out," he admits. When pressed, Jack reveals, "I was rooting for you," identifying himself as the anonymous sender of an encouraging book she received in the hospital. Jack's growth comes when he realizes he can remember Libby's face in detail. Her slightly arched eyebrows that make her look amused, her nose that wrinkles when she laughs, her lips with corners that turn up. This epiphany shows him his ability to see Libby isn't about her weight, it's her. For Libby, Jack sees beyond her physical appearance to her true self, her wit, resilience, and passionate spirit. For Jack, Libby becomes the first person he can consistently recognize, not because of her size, but because he loves her enough to memorize every detail. Their relationship helps both address deep trauma. Libby confronts her fear of being trapped again, physically or emotionally, stemming from being cut from her house. When she punched Jack after the fat girl rodeo, she felt he was trying to stuff me back into that house. Her counselor's insight proves crucial. No one can lock me in unless I let them. Jack's journey involves dismantling his protective masks. His relationship with Caroline offers comfort, but lacks emotional depth. With Libby, he experiences both the terror and joy of being truly known. The novel shows healing isn't linear. Both characters face significant challenges that ultimately strengthen their resilience and self-acceptance. The climactic scene unfolds in the park where their story began. Through rain, Jack finds Libby and declares, "You're the one I see, Libby Strout." With eyes closed, he traces her features, describing the exact curve of her smile and warmth in her eyes, proving he knows her beyond visual recognition. When Libby asks if this means he loves her, Jack responds, "I'm pretty sure I see you because I love you." He returns an Ohio refrigerator magnet, a small treasure he secretly took from her house years ago during vandalism, protecting this piece of her history when others sought to destroy it. Their kiss is world-expanding and electric, where we're breathing for each other, merging together until all that's left is electricity. The intimacy becomes a metaphor for complete acceptance. The novel concludes with them standing together. Libby sees herself reflected in Jack's pupils, as if he's carrying me with him. Under the vast sky, Jack takes her hand and finds what he's been searching for, home. We all deserve to be truly seen, beyond our faces, bodies, and differences. Sometimes home isn't a place, but a person who recognizes the universe within us.